This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and joining me in the studio is, of course, Philip C. Let's take a look at how markets ended trading yesterday.
US markets on a green as a result of very good jobs data. The Dow was
not
up.
Not yet.
Oh, projected up.
Projected
payrolls being very good, right? Post-pandemic. So the Dow was up 0.4%, S&P 500 up 0.3%, Nasdaq up 0.1%. Asia also taking its cue, Nikkei up 0.3%, Hang Seng also positive territory 0.2%, Shanghai 0.8%, STI closed flat, marginally up 0.03%, and unfortunately back home FBM KLCI was down 0.3%.
Yeah, it's the second day of us closing
declines
in the red, right?
Yes.
So to give us some, you know, view into where global markets are heading, we're going to speak to Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP. Good morning, Carlos. Now, Philip just mentioned a few seconds ago about job data. I think the street is expecting 750,000 new jobs. Are you as positive?
Hi, good morning. It's a little bit tricky to say because jobs data in the US, the prints can be very volatile. We are expecting the situation to continue to recover. However, other economic data coming out of the US is suggesting that activity is starting to slow. As the economy is reaching a more mature phase in its own mini cycle, and that is going to eventually translate into some weakness in the labor market as well. So given that this conversation about growth is already taking place, there is potential room for disappointment in the jobs data if, given the very sanguine expectations that you were mentioning earlier, are not met.
I mean, you complicate matters a bit with the demand, but if we just shift our attention to supply and specifically on chip shortages, right, how concerned are you? Because even GM has had to close 8 plants in the US. Will this fundamentally crimp global demand?
There are a few factors, of course. On the supply of shortage of semiconductors, there is a global squeeze. And we do think that because it just takes a little bit longer for some of the supply side bottlenecks to clear, not as long as investing in a new mine in the case of some of the EV battery metals, for example. But the factories do take a couple of years to come up, or it does take a little longer to increase production. So we do expect that these pressures will remain into at least the first half of next year. And of course, that's been dragging quite a fair bit in the automotive supply chain, as they were not, just didn't have the sorts of longer-term contracts and agreements that some of the mobile phone manufacturers had. And so that's been a drag on the supply front for the auto sector, a big employer in certain states in the U.S. But moreover, it's been one of the main things that have been driving inflation. If you look at the bottom-up factors that are driving inflation in the U.S., you have a lot of secondhand vehicles, new vehicles, and areas related to transportation that have been ticking up. So yes, this is going to potentially be one of the factors that is disruptive.
And Carlos, let's turn our attention to China, because the manufacturing PMI figures for August hint that economic growth might be slowing down. Why have the numbers come in lower than market expectations, though?
So we expected some degree of downside risk, but it was bigger than expected. And in particular, I would like to say that it was not the manufacturing that captured most of the headlines this time. It was the non-manufacturing PMI that declined to 47.5, which is the lowest since 2020, since the dip in 2020. So there are a few reasons why this happened. First of all, we had a localized COVID-19 cases throughout the month that required, strict measures, because of course the stance there is still zero tolerance. And we also had flooding in parts of central China, which dragged significantly in the demand for services. So that was, together with this longer term slowing growth narrative, it was these shorter term factors that drove down the PMI quite a bit in August.
And Carlos, staying on China, right? Overnight we saw China's Alibaba investing $15.5 billion to Xi Jinping's Common Prosperity Agenda, right? And it's now starting to penetrate the whole fabric of China's economy. In your view, what are the risks to ASEAN countries, right, who presently caught China as a major trading partner?
So let me put it this way. We recently decided to downgrade our growth forecast for China. And so, of course, a lot of Asian partners are, you know, China is a big export market for them. They have been benefiting from very strong growth momentum in China. And then in the US, of course, US and China typically are the two largest export partners for a lot of the countries in ASEAN. So if you do have a slowing of the economy, that doesn't bode well for Asian exports. There are various factors for this lower growth. Of course, the uncertainty surrounding the policies that have been put in place to gear the country into this new, relatively new theme of common prosperity is one of the factors. But you also have COVID and you also have adverse weather effects. So it's a little bit of everything that's been weighing down.
So, Carlos, what is the downgrade? Is it what is the GDP forecast now then?
Yes, so we've actually downgraded our growth forecast from 8.6% to 8.2% for 2021 and from 5.5% to 5.0%. So a slightly bigger revision for 2022. That implies that growth will actually be slower than consensus in our view in Q3 at 2.5%.
And Carlos, just shifting to currencies, we see really the US dollar weaken against the ringgit recently. So I want to get your views, right? What factors have been driving our currency's strength? And is it sustainable?
In my opinion, a lot of this is US dollar driven. We saw weakness in the dollar, especially after Jackson Hole meetings with the Fed, providing an expected message that perhaps left some of the more hawkish international investors and spectators disappointed, because they expected that a much clearer timeline for tapering was going to be announced after Jackson Hole. And potentially starting in September. That, of course, was not the case. So that led to a correction in positioning that has translated into US dollar weakness. Longer term, I would say that the US dollar weakening is a theme to keep in mind, as you have the twin deficits in the US, et cetera, et cetera. However, this recent dip in the US dollar is maybe a little bit less sustainable, as we will have better clarity following from the Fed's September meeting, the FOMC meeting in September and October, in terms of how much and when they plan to start tapering. So we could see a little bit of dollar strength again after that, especially after this correction in positions by international investors.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP in Hong Kong, giving us his views on the world economy and in particular his downgrade of China's GDP, because I think PMI numbers in August did come below market expectations on the back of a few factors. But I think the question is, you know, will China continue to see increased pressure on their economy? Because they did have to, I guess, come under some form of lockdown when there was an uptick in COVID-19 cases. But added to that, of course, is this whole global issue of chip shortages. So at the moment, yes, the auto sector seems to be the most impacted, because they weren't, I guess, aggressive in ordering the chips early in the COVID-19 crisis, and now they're paying the price for it. But I think it's going to eventually have a knock-on effect on the global economy.
Yeah, I mean, talk about aggressive. I think China has done a relatively good job in addressing COVID cases. I mean, I'm just looking at the chart. Really, it's just a blip comparative to what you see in the rest of the region. And we talked about, even there was a case surge in Wuhan a couple of weeks back, but they just locked it down so fast.
China style,
and just got everybody, you know, tested.
The whole city,
fast.
Right?
It's incredible, right?
Yeah.
How they mobilize. So I guess this is kind of in theme with Xi Jinping's common prosperity agenda, right? Where everybody is moving in one pace and prospering together, right? And all in this together. Sounds like a very Biden-esque slogan, in my view.
Does it?
Yes. We're all in this together. It's quite a US election kind of theme.
Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.